Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, greetings and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship for Sunday, August the 6th of 2017. You knew exactly where I was going there.
I did indeed.
I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're really glad you've chosen to join us today, and all of you are going August 6th. Come on, Derek, you can do it.
And it's on the screen right there. If I just looked up, welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship.
Sam has already left. He said, look, I knew what he was going to do. I'm out of here before he even goes there.
Yeah.
He's gone.
I'm just so tired of hearing the same thing week after week. Well, yes, indeed. Glad you joined us today as we dig back into the book of Isaiah. And
he's back. Hi, Sam.
Sorry. Well, Mom got things back on track, so now I can come back in. We've a bit of rain overnight here in the Ozarks last night, which was much needed. July was really dry here, but that's not that unusual.
We could use like 2 more inches of rain.
Well, we may get it before the end of the day.
That would be fine with me.
So, hope things are well with you and where you are. I know Florida's gotten a whole mess of rain here recently, and there are various and assorted.
We've got family down there, friends down there, so keep praying for everybody. You know what? Pray for the many people who listen to this podcast, because in many ways you are a virtual fellowship. So pray for your fellow, you know, friends on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, those sitting about you, because we're all part of the body of Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior and Lord and King, you're covered by the blood, then you are part of the same body.
Yeah, amen to that. And it's easy for me to forget, and maybe not for you so much, but it's easy for me to forget because we sense the world around us through our natural, senses, the physical realm. But as we are essentially spirit beings that are inhabiting these fleshly shells for a while. And so, as Paul wrote, the real contest here is not with other people; it's with the principalities and powers and rulers of spiritual darkness, the entities who have rebelled against our Creator and want to destroy His creation, and that would be us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to forget that our main defense, our main weapons in this spiritual war is prayer.
Yeah, it really is. And we've talked about the little foxes many times on this program. And they're the things that will get to you more easily than a big thing.
Right.
The big thing comes at you, you will almost always drop to your knees.
Sure.
But those little things, you want to solve them on your own.
Right. And I'm guilty of that.
Me too.
In fact, I was thinking about this the other night. Had an odd dream in where I was, in trouble. And even in my dream, I wasn't, engaging in prayer. And thought about that when I woke up. It's like, that really kind of tells me where my default setting is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true of all of us.
Yeah. So before we get started today, let's engage that spiritual armor. Putting on the full armor of God by getting to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for drawing us together through this virtual gathering, this virtual fellowship, the tools that You've given us to come together and study Your Word. Lord, we are so indoctrinated here in the West that the physical realm, the natural realm, is all that is. Help us, Lord, to reject that programming and to return to the way You created us, the world of the apostles and prophets, where they knew that the spirit realm was real and influenced them daily in very real ways. As Sharon said, we often don't recognize the activities of the spirit realm until something really big hits us, whether it's an illness or an accident or a financial a problem that suddenly is overwhelming. That's when we remember to come to You. But the enemy will often use those little pinpricks to distract us and demoralize us. And it's because we don't come to You and lay these burdens at Your feet. We thank You, Father, for Your sacrifice for us, because we know through Your Word that You've endured far more than we ever will be called to endure. And so, Lord, we just pray for the strength that comes from Your Spirit. We also ask for wisdom as we read Your Word to better understand Your will for us and to understand it in the way that the prophets and apostles did. Lord, we just ask that as we read and listen, that we add nothing to your word and take nothing away from it. Help us not to lean on our own understanding, but grant us wisdom to better understand your mind and your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, I just want to ask a special blessing on those of you who are out there listening to this all on your own. It's really easy for me to take for granted the fellowship that I have with Jarek. He and I are in the same room together, and so we hold hands. We actually have that physical bond as we're praying. Some of you don't have that, either because you are living all alone or spiritually you are all alone. But we want to ask a special blessing on you today, that the Lord would help you to feel connected to all of us out here.
That's a really good that's a really good thing to remember, because you're right. It is not that I ever feel like you take me for granted, and I try not to take you for granted. Both of us have been through relationships in the past where we know the other side of this, and you spent a long time, you know, in your adult life after your first marriage living alone. So you went through a long period that, you know, to use a overused phrase, the dark night of the soul. I didn't have that long period. For me, it was months, not years. So, but yes, there are a lot of people out there, some who are married, who are feeling that kind of solitude because, as you say, they're not on the same page spiritually. And that's even more, that may even be more difficult than being alone.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I was laughing when you said that you'd only gone through a few months. The Lord was saying, look, better hurry and get them together because she's getting really old.
No, I think it's, we need to get him some help. Otherwise, his daughter's going to be really messed up.
She's going to kill him. Oh, gosh. You know what? We've got some wonderful passages to read today. Isaiah is one of the best books in the Bible.
It is. And I know, and I don't subscribe to this, but I know that as the section we're getting into Isaiah now, beginning at chapter 40, some scholars will say, oh, well, this is written later. This is Isaiah 2 or 2nd Isaiah. It's like, no, you know, I'm just mentioning that not to plant doubts in your mind, but just to let you know that you will hear scholars who will say this. And again, I don't subscribe to it. Isaiah was a prophet, and he was shown a lot of things that happened in the future. The reason I mention this is that the section that we came out of last week was dealing with the imminent Assyrian attack on Judah. And now we're shifting the point of view toward, or shifting the view toward Babylon, which was, you know, in the future, by about a century, century and a half. So anyway, but yes, again, Isaiah, just an amazing book. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. And we'll just mention again here, as we've done before, if you're new to this, we will use Yahweh, which is the name by which he revealed himself to Moses. Wherever the Bible uses Lord in all caps or God in all caps, simply because that's how English translators have traditionally translated the Hebrew Yod Heh Vav Heh. And it just, Lord sounds generic.
It does. It does. I prefer Yahweh or Jehovah.
Yeah, right. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Of course, this was fulfilled.
Right.
John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also got a second fulfillment coming.
Yeah. We got the two witnesses coming who will precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low.
Stop there. Every mountain.
Oh, yes. And we're talking, again, sacred mountains, and the only mountain that will remain is God's holy mountain, which is Zion.
Exactly. It's not that the Lord has anything against these beautiful mountains that he's created. It's because spiritually they're wicked.
Yeah. Yeah. As we've, well, that's the whole point of my book, is that these alternate mountains want to, you know, the principalities and powers want to set themselves up on those.
Yeah.
As rulers of the, you know, masters of the universe.
They are imitators of the real thing.
Right. In fact, there was an interview last weekend with by CBN with Dr. Michael Evans, who's a well-known, you know, pastor, and he was commenting on the riots that have been taking place around the Temple Mount for the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And this began with two Palestinian gunmen who ran into the Al-Aqsa Mosque after shooting dead three Israeli policemen, or two, and then wounding severely wounding
right.
a third. And after that situation was resolved with the deaths of the Palestinians, Israel put metal detectors on the Temple Mount and refused to allow essentially adult males, Palestinians onto the mount. And the whole, you know, much of the Muslim world. I mean, there were thousands of people marching on the streets of Ankara in Turkey over
mm-hmm.
this.
And there still are.
Yeah. So this was a big deal. And Dr. Evans is correct in that this was all about control of Zion. But then he identified Isaiah 14:13, which is the passage that says, you know, how art thou fallen, Lucifer, son of, you want to set your mountain in the sides of the north.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reference to Mount Zafon,
yes,
which is Jabal al-Aqra in Turkey. So I mentioned that in passing on Skywatch TV because he's correct, and we Christians need to be aware of this. I mean, Jews, especially Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews, know this. For them, it's very real. I mean, there is nothing more iconic in the Jewish faith, right? You know, for religious Jews, than the Temple Mount, and someday being able to put the third temple on the mount, which of course would be problematic because the you know the mosques are there,
right?
But there are other mountains out there like Jabal al-Aqra, Mount Zafon,
Mount Hermon,
you know, Mount Carmel for mm-hmm. a time, and of course Muhammad received his so-called revelation on a mountain, Jabal al-Nur mm-hmm. near Mecca. So
yeah, worldwide there are mountains. Just about every civilization, every tribe has its local mountain story.
Right.
And there's the artificial mountain. There's one in Egypt.
Right.
There was Babel.
Well, that's the whole, you're right, the whole point of pyramids and ziggurats and step pyramids.
Yeah, for a long time, the Great Pyramid was the tallest man-made structure in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over 4,000 feet high.
Think about that. That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, no, not 4,000 feet high. No, because that would be like 400 stories, a 400-story building.
Well, let me go and look.
But the point is that, it took a long time before modern man was able to build anything that surpassed.
Oh, sorry, 455 feet.
Yeah, I thought we were off by a digit there.
Well,
I didn't know exactly.
What's a digit amongst friends?
But still, think about that. That, before Moses. So, we're talking 4,000 years ago that they built this, the equivalent of a 45-story building.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's a reason why they built it in a mountain shape.
Yeah. And that's why our friend, the late Patrick Heron, argued that the New Jerusalem, which is, when you read the description in the book of Revelation, appears to describe a cube. But he said, no, it's just got to be a mountain
mm-hmm.
shape.
Yeah.
And so it's a
the
pyramid.
Mount of the Assembly.
Right, exactly.
So, sorry,
right. Nope,
I interrupted
that's okay.
the mountain story.
That's all right. We go back to verse 3 of Isaiah 40. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of Yahweh blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord Yahweh. And this is Adonai Yahweh in Hebrew, comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him.
Now, let's back up for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the Lord God, mm-hmm. Adonai Yahweh, comes with might, and his arm rules for him.
Hmm.
Isn't that an interesting phrase?
Yeah.
that, and with his arm ruling for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if this is a reference to the second power in heaven or if it's just a reference to strength.
Well,
but
I would
interesting.
I would think coming after might.
Probably that, strength, yeah.
But it's interesting. But we should look for things like that because you're right. There are the second power in heaven, like the name theology that we mm-hmm. talked about. His name has been put in Jerusalem and on Zion forever. That is I don't know, personification is not quite the right word, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of Yahweh, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol! A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness.
This reminds me of Job.
It does. Yeah, when God was basically telling Job, you know, where were you when I laid the foundations of the universe?
Mm-hmm.
Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom, then, will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? Lift up your eyes. We're talking about the host of heaven, stars. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel?
Can I stop you for a minute?
Sure.
Verse 26 is really interesting if you take a look at the idea that the asteroid belt is the result of a collision.
Hmm.
Not one is missing.
Okay.
Does that mean that we're missing something, that everything that he created in the heavens is still there?
Well, it could be, but it could also be that not one escapes his gaze. Like verse 27 says, why do you say, O Jacob, my way is hidden from Yahweh and my right is disregarded by my God? It's like, look, if God can number and keep track of every body in the heavens, that not one is missing, not one. And he calls them out by number, brings them out by number, calls them all by name. Not one is missing. Why do you say God doesn't see what you're doing, Israel?
That could be. Not one is to be hoed or lacking or fail. Looking at the meaning of Adar.
Hmm. Well, yeah, it is. And again, that's interesting speculation.
It really is speculation. I mean, big time speculation, but I try not to let things like this just go fly by.
Right. And I'm glad because it makes for some really interesting stuff and often leads to a much deeper understanding of the verse.
Or it's just a bunch of blather that the Lord blows on it and it's gone.
But you're really pretty when you do it.
Oh, so honey, yeah. You're cute. Who's a button?
Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from Yahweh, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And you know, I'll say again, this is the big difference that skeptics ignore or totally miss when they say that, well, Yahweh was just the Israelite storm god. He was just a bull god that they, you know, they created him out of, you know, just to look. The other gods of the ancient Near East, the ancient pantheon, were all created beings.
Yes.
To the people who worshipped them, they were created beings. They came from earlier chthonic gods like heaven and earth, you know, Uranus and Gaia,
mm-hmm.
gave birth to these other gods. Yahweh was unique and different in that regard.
At least that's what we're told. I just want to back up. You do not personally believe heaven and sky got to get heaven and earth got together and created things.
No.
That's what their mythologies
teach. That's what they
believed.
Right, exactly. That's what the ancients believed.
But they were created by Yahweh.
Exactly right. Yahweh was unique in that regard, mm-hmm. and unique among the people of the ancient world. The Hebrews believed that their God created everything, including the gods of the other nations.
Right.
That is the key difference that skeptics never mention.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why this verse jumped out at me here. Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
How wonderful. I mean, that promise, it's one that we read all the time on Facebook memes. But take that to heart.
Yeah.
Because the Lord is talking about us.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that physically we won't endure trials and tribulations.
Exactly.
We're talking
about spiritual strength. That's exactly it. Isaiah 41. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. About sometimes some people, the coastlands, it's hard to say what it is that's being referenced here. There are some people that say that these may mean Greece or mm-hmm. other countries within
Mediterranean,
like
farthest place you could possibly go.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them speak. Then let them speak. Let us draw together near for judgment. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Who stirred up one from the east whom victory meets at every step? See, the alternatives whom righteousness calls to follow. He gives up nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. I'm stopping because I'm trying to figure out the context here. Is this since chapters were not in the original,
mm-hmm.
this is, I think, a continuation of 40, where we've got this rhetorical section of the Lord and how powerful he is. Again, these are more rhetorical questions. Who stirred up one from the east whom victory meets at every step? I'm going to assume that's what this is until I see mm-hmm. something different.
Yeah, and the one from the east would be either Assyria or Babylon.
Possibly.
Yeah. Agents of judgment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He pursues them and passes on safely by paths his feet have not trod. Who has performed and done this, called the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first and with the last, I am he, the Alpha, the Omega.
Right. And by the way, he, not she.
And not it.
And not it, yes.
Yeah. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Now, this may refer to this hubris idea that we can go and try to defeat the return of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him from coming back. Everyone helps his neighbor and says to his brother, be strong. The craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths with the hammer him who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good. And they strengthen it with nails so that it cannot be moved, making some sort of a machine.
Or idol.
Yeah. or both.
Mm-hmm.
But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Am I this one or that one?
This one.
This one?
Yeah.
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the righteous right, with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. What wonderful promises.
Mm-hmm.
You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, Yahweh, your God, hold your right hand. Daddy's got this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I am the one who helps you, declares Yahweh. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. You're only redeemed if you're enslaved.
Yeah.
You've essentially been pawned, and mm-hmm. someone has to come with the ticket and redeem you out of there.
And the reason they were pawned is because they rejected God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Behold, I make of you a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and crush them.
Hmm.
And you shall make the hills like chaff.
That's interesting, because iconography of the sun god back in Mesopotamia was that he would take a threshing sledge and cut down the mountains.
Here's the question. To whom is the pronoun you referring? Is it Israel, or is it the Holy One of Israel?
Hmm. That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in Yahweh, in the Holy One of Israel you shall glory, so that may be Israel.
Mm-hmm.
When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, Yahweh, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. When you live in a desert, that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set in the desert the cypress, the plane, and the pine together. Not sure what the plane is.
I believe that's a type of tree, if I'm not mistaken.
I would guess so, since it's with other trees,
yeah.
That they may see and know, may consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this, the Holy One of Israel has created it. Interesting that they may see. Again, who's they? The trees?
I was looking up the plane tree just to make sure.
It flies.
It is a tree that's native to the Northern Hemisphere.
That they may see and know, may consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. Set forth your case. This almost seems like a metaphor, a poetic way of saying, I'm going to regather everybody together.
Yeah, and the trees are
from different parts of the earth,
symbols of the nations, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Set forth your case, says Yahweh. Bring your proofs, says the King of Jacob. That would be Christ Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Let them bring them and tell us what is to happen. Tell us the former things, what they are, that we may consider them, that we may know their outcome, or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what is to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods.
Hmm.
Is this a picture of the divine council?
Well, set forth your case. Bring your proofs.
This is a courtroom setting when you've got a case and proofs.
Yeah.
Do you not know that you will judge the angels?
I will answer. I will open the rivers. Wilderness, cedar, acacia, olive, set in desert, cypress, plain, and pine together. They may know. They may consider and understand together. Set forth your case. Section title in the English Standard Version of the Bible here says the futility of idols, but again, the idols are just giving locality to the gods of the nations. And what God is telling us is that basically he's saying to them, you're right, this is sort of a divine council setting. Okay, you know, let them bring them and tell us what's going to happen. Tell us the former things, what they are, that we may consider them. So what are the prophecies that you gave that have been fulfilled? Now tell us what's going to come, that we may know that you are gods.
Mm-hmm. Do harm, do good or do harm. In other words, you have free will.
Yeah.
That we may be dismayed and terrified, or that we may both be dismayed and see. Behold, you are nothing.
Yeah. Just do something here. Show us that you're real. Show us
Behold,
that
you are nothing.
Yeah.
And your work is less than nothing. An abomination is he who chooses you.
Right. Now, again, they are gods in the sense that they occupy the supernatural realm. God is a designator of place. Small g God.
Yeah.
Capital G God is how we English speakers designate Yahweh, which is why we say Yahweh for capital L-O-R-D.
Right.
You know, all caps in the Bible to...
Everyone born in the United States is an American.
Right.
By definition, but not every American is the president.
Exactly. And that's all that we're saying here. So, but when they're saying, behold, you are nothing. Yeah, they are still gods, small g gods. But compared to Yahweh, capital G God, they are nothing. They don't have the power to do what he does. And that's what this section of Isaiah 41 is about.
And I think the next verse is still in this courtroom setting. I stirred up one from the north, and he has come.
Mm-hmm.
From the rising of the sun, and he shall call upon my name. He shall trample on rulers as on mortar, as the potter treads clay.
Now, a lot of scholars will look at this and say this refers to Cyrus, who overwhelmed the Babylonian Empire. And because Cyrus then gave Israel the right to return, was obviously and Isaiah will prophesy Cyrus and call him by name.
Mm-hmm. He does later.
Which is why some scholars say, oh, well, this couldn't have been written at the time Isaiah lived. This was after the fact. So, no, I believe God showed Isaiah what was going to happen.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah. But he also may be, this may be in the divine council context, saying that, yeah, I stirred up one from the north, which again is from the direction of Tsaphon, which is Hebrew for north, a supernatural entity that he put to work to clear out the gods of the other nations so that he could exercise judgment on them.
And in a funny kind of way, this next verse is Isaiah saying to those who are making that claim, well, who declared from the beginning that we might know and beforehand that we might say he is right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was none who declared it, none who proclaimed it, none who heard your words. I was the first to say to Zion, behold, here they are, and I give to Jerusalem a herald of good news. And this may be John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Since we go back to
again, and
40,
already, but not yet. Yeah.
But when I look, there is no one. Among these, there is no counselor who, when I ask, gives an answer. Behold, they are all a delusion. Their works are nothing. Their metal images are empty wind.
And again, he's referring to the gods of the nations here and their metal images. We've always been taught that it was the metal images that the nations worshipped. That's not true. And since God, in places like Exodus 12, Psalm 82, Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 32, refers to them as gods, he is talking about supernatural entities, spiritual entities that he allotted the nations to, or to which he allotted the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the English straight there. The metal images were just there to give locality when pagans were worshiping their
gods. Sort of like a television set.
Yeah. It's not the show. It's just where you view the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. I have to remember that. Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. All right, come in again. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. This really sounds messianic.
Mm-hmm. It does. This is not John the Baptist.
No. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God Yahweh, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I am Yahweh. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness.
This is what Christ read.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He said, you've seen this fulfilled today. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stone him.
Yeah, exactly. Because they knew what he was saying. I am God. I am Yahweh. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. And by no other, we mean other supernatural entity called small g gods. Mm-hmm. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Prophecy is how he validates and confirms that he is, in fact, God. Capital G, God. Sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants, let the desert and its cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Kedar, I believe, is in Arabia, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and Selah is in Edom. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to Yahweh and declare his praise in the coastlands. Yahweh goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war. He stirs up his zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes.
Not exactly a mamby-pamby sort of, you know.
No, it's all good.
Yeah,
type
no.
Of squishy.
Sorry, man of war.
Yeah. Well, that's what Lord of Hosts means.
Yep.
Yahweh of armies. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of Yahweh? He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. Yahweh was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted. They are all of them trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They have become plunder with none to rescue, spoil with none to say, restore. Who among you will give ear to this, will attend and listen for the time to come? Who gave up Jacob to the looter and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not Yahweh against whom we have sinned, in whose ways they would not walk, and whose law they would not obey? So he poured on them the heat of his anger and the might of battle. It set him on fire all around, but he did not understand. It burned him up, but he did not take it to heart. He's talking about Israel and the fact that they've been judged, and they still don't understand why.
Chapter 43. But now thus says Yahweh, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am Yahweh your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you.
Seba, either North Africa or on the Arabian Peninsula.
Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. This is being fulfilled now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring out the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares Yahweh, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed.
That's right. He was the first. He existed before all things.
Nor shall there be any after me.
Death of the gods has been decreed.
I am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no Savior. Those who think you can find other ways to salvation, read Isaiah 43:11.
Mm-hmm.
I am Yahweh. Besides me, there is no Savior.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And then John 14:8. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
Yeah.
I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares Yahweh, and I am God. And henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, in the ships in which they rejoice. I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says Yahweh, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?
By the way, Isaiah 43:19, behold, I am doing a new thing. That doesn't necessarily apply to today.
No.
I keep hearing, you know, that phrase being misused. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Well, no. God was telling this to Isaiah, you know,
back in the day.
2,700 years ago.
Yeah.
That was the new thing.
Yeah. Have you read the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation?
Yeah.
And the curse upon those who add or take away?
Right.
Don't be doing that.
That's why I say that, by the way, when I pray a lot, you know, because there are curses associated to those with those who will do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll read 19 again. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth.
Yes, now, which was 2,700 years ago.
Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me.
Hmm.
That probably is a spirit. The jackals and the ostriches,
yep,
those are spirits. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Now, why were you made?
Hmm. Yeah, to declare his praise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob. But you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with frankincense. You have not brought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your, despite this, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Why does God do what he does? He does it for his own sake. Can't fathom that.
Yeah,
Don't know why he does, but he's got his reasons and it's for his own sake. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue together and set forth your case that you may be proved right.
The courtroom scene continues.
Your first father sinned, Adam, and your mediators transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes, the mediators, that would be the priests.
Right.
Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary and deliver Jacob to utter destruction and Israel to reviling.
Isaiah 44. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yahweh, who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am Yahweh's. And another will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, Yahweh's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts. Interesting that you got both, you know, both there. That's the two powers in heaven. Yahweh, but not Yahweh. Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Now, this isn't saying, again, there aren't other supernatural entities referred to as gods. It's like saying, besides the Chicago Cubs, there are nobody else in the National League besides the Chicago. Well, yeah, they're like, you know, a bunch of other teams.
It's just
a,
you're saying that they're top of the heap.
Exactly. They are
unique.
Supreme. Unique.
They are unique.
Exactly. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. You know, prove it through prophecy. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock, and that's capital R, rock. I know not any. All who fashion idols are nothing, and the things they delight in do not profit. Their witnesses neither see nor know that they may be put to shame. Who fashions a God or casts an idol that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his companions shall be put to shame, and the craftsmen are only human. Let them all assemble. Let them stand forth. They shall be terrified. They shall be put to shame together. The ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. He shapes it into the figure of a man, with the beauty of a man, to dwell in a house. He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak, and lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar, and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes a part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. Also, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over the half he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. Also, he warms himself and says, "Aha! I am warm. I have seen the fire." And the rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They know not, nor do they discern, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is there knowledge or discernment to say, "Half of it I burned in the fire. I also baked bread on its coals. I roasted meat and have eaten. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray, and he cannot deliver himself. or say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these things, O Jacob, and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you, you are my servant, O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for Yahweh has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, and will be glorified in Israel. Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am Yahweh, who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens and spread out the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of liars and makes fools of diviners, who turns wise men back and makes their knowledge foolish, who confirms the word of his servant and fulfills the counsel of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah, they shall be built, and I will raise up their ruins. And this is God saying, when I say something, it happens. And this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem will be restored. And this is where he prophesies who's going to do it. Verse 27 now of Isaiah 44. Who says to the deep, be dry, I will dry up your rivers. And that's interesting because the deep is the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Baal cycle, Baal defeats the sea god Yam. But of course, this is just a copy of what actually happened where God Yahweh defeated Leviathan. The deeps, the abyss, the Lotan's companion in the Baal cycle was Judge Nahar or Judge River. Rivers were part of that whole defeat of the abyss.
The translation here, who says to the deep, be dry,
mm-hmm.
the word actually means to lay waste or be desolate, be in ruins.
Ah.
It's a little different from be dry.
That is interesting.
In other words, consider yourself conquered.
Yeah. Huh. Isaiah 44:27 again, who says to the deep, be dry, I will dry up your rivers. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and he shall fulfill all my purpose. Remember, Isaiah lived about 150 years before Cyrus freed Israel to go back to Jerusalem,
yes.
the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. He shall fulfill all my purpose, saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple, your foundation shall be laid.
You know the Hebrew in here that is translated Cyrus is Koresh.
Yeah, you mentioned that before we.
I just wanted to remind you
that. The Koresh is interesting because, of course, you know the whole Waco thing with David Koresh, but the Koresh tribe of Arabs.
That's why I bring it up because of that.
Yeah, the Koresh tribe was entrusted with the protection of Mecca and the Kaaba,
mm-hmm.
and of course, the Koresh tribe is the tribe from which Muhammad came and rebuked his tribe, who weren't really happy with him when he said, hey, you know, I figured it out. This idol that we've been worshiping here in the, you know, the 360 idols led by the big one, Hubal, which is Baal.
Yes.
They're not the god. It's this other one over here called Allah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if this Koresh is an ancestor of that tribe or if the name just was common.
I'm guessing the name because Cyrus, being Persian, would not have been Arab.
No, that's true. That's true. But interesting that it's the same because you wouldn't think that Persian and Arabic would have the same tribe name, the same founder name.
You would think not, but then, you know, Moses is an Egyptian name, so.
Good point. Good point. How are we doing on time?
We're at about 54 minutes.
Okay, well, we should probably stop here because we have communion today.
Yeah, because Isaiah 45 is a long
I know, and we have,
verse.
Four more chapters to go in today's schedule. So
we will hold those off until next week. But Isaiah 45.
We talk a lot.
Yes, we blathed. Much blather. Isaiah 45 gets into the whole prophecy of Cyrus. But again, you know, skeptics will say, no, that it had to be after the fact. But that's what they're going to say.
Well, of course they are.
And you know, I don't subscribe to that. But when you get right down to it, even if you accept that and accept that Daniel wasn't written by Daniel, the fact is the Old Testament was translated by Jewish scholars around 200 BC and still nailed the arrival of Messiah to the day in Jerusalem.
Yes.
So,
and there are many Old Testament prophecies about Messiah
right.
that predate the birth of Christ.
Yeah. And like I said, the very latest any of them could be written. If you just, even if you were to say, okay, none of the Old Testament prophets actually wrote the books that bear their names, which I don't believe. I'm just saying, if you were to accept that, you still have to account for how they got all of those prophecies about the coming Messiah right.
Yeah.
When the very latest they could have been written was about 200 years before Jesus was born.
Right.
So anyway, being the first Sunday of the month, we remember the sacrifice that God made for us in the way that Paul was taught. And he reminded the church at Corinth of that practice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, where he writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" "In the same way also we took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Amen. Amen to that.
Come quickly, Lord.
Amen. By the way, we are going to be in Boise, Idaho on the 18th, which means that we will have a fellowship a week from today, but 2 weeks from today, we will be taking that Sunday off.
Yeah.
And if you, it's too late to register to actually attend in person.
Yeah, it's sold out.
They are sold out.
Yeah.
But if you would like to stream it, you can save a little bit of money by using the promo code Gilbert20, just go to hearthewatchman.com and you will find the links to sign up for the streaming.
And the price of the streaming is already really reasonable. It's $39.99, but with 20% off using the promo code, it's even better. And then those presentations will be archived at the site for
six months.
So that's really a deal.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And the speaker list is phenomenal. I mean, Carl Gallops, L.A. Marzulli, Paul Begley, Casper McLeod, Russ Dizdar, Zev Perot, the Messianic Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, right? Josh Tolley. A
couple of people named Gilbert.
Scott Clark. We'll be talking about Revelation 12. We get a lot of letters about that. You know, September 23rd, the astronomical alignment. I tend to believe Revelation 12 was fulfilled when Jesus was born, but it's interesting to speculate. And hey, if he's right, and you know,
we'll get
called home in September, I'm okay with that.
Me too.
So.
You won't hear me complain.
Yeah. So, again, hearthewatchman.com for that. And then still time also to register for streaming for the True Legends Conference in September. That's Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Michael Lake, who will also be in Boise. Keep forgetting Dr. Lake. And me. That one is going to be phenomenal. 3,000 seat theater in Branson sold out.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So like we say, you can still stream it. Blessed Hope Conference for Norman, Oklahoma is still available. You can still register and go to that in person.
Yep.
Just go to prophecywatchers.com and follow the links.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have links in the notes for this study to all of those sites. So if you're interested, again, you can just click the link there. And the website, of course, with the archives and the notes is gilberthouse.org. Yep. That's gilberthouse.org.
Also, one more reminder, and that is that next May's 70-year visit to Israel is getting close to being sold out.
Yeah. We had basically figured on about 90 seats, which is two tour buses. Bigger than that, it gets kind of unwieldy visiting these tour sites and for people to be able to hear and really interact with us and, of course, Mike and Drina Heiser, being able to see Mount Hermon and some of these other sites with Mike Heiser adding commentary.
How cool is that?
Yeah, but we've already got about 75 people signed up, so there's only about 15 slots left.
Exactly. So if you were planning on going, you need to get your deposit in now and register.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't already have a passport, you need to register for that, too.
Yeah, we're taking care of that this coming week, so...
Yep. Mm.
Well, love to see you there. Father, we thank you for granting us this time together to study your word and just to see the way you have worked in through history and the way that you have validated your word and confirmed your word as true by telling us what was to come and then making it happen. Unlike the gods of the nations who can only lie and deceive, you have told the truth. You've told us what was to come. You have fulfilled it. And you told us what is coming. We don't understand it perfectly, we know. But Lord, we trust that it will be fulfilled and that the ultimate end is our restoration to you and our restoration as part of your holy family, as part of the divine assembly. And Lord, we look forward to that day. Father, we just pray for understanding of your word, for wisdom and discernment to recognize the spiritual forces arrayed against us. We pray for strength for those and comfort for those in need of healing, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. Lord, we pray for those who need relationship healing. There are many of us who are hurting because of dysfunctional relationships within their families, with spouses, with children, with parents. Lord, we just pray that your spirit would work on our hearts to bring us back together in love. Father, we pray that you would protect and encourage those who are preaching the gospel, making disciples to the ends of the earth, just working while the day is still with us before your return. Father, we pray for your spirit to guide and bless the leaders in our nation of all political parties, Father. We know we are called to pray for those who you have placed into office. Not all of them follow you, Father, but we've been called to pray for them nevertheless, and we ask that you would grant them wisdom, discernment, and the courage to judge rightly, rewarding the good and punishing evil, so that we might live peaceable lives according to your word. Father, we thank you for your blessings, for your sacrifice for us, Father, and again for this time that we share together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with